It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, today we want to continue our study in the book of Revelation. And remember that the book of Revelation is actually the revelation of Jesus Christ. It presents Christ as King, as the Victor, and as the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Once again, as we think back to our last study, the last thing we talked about was the tribulation period. Of course, the church will be taken out before the tribulation begins. Who is this? Who are the people who will be taken out? Well, it's those people who have trusted Jesus during this time, those people who are members of His body, the church, right now. These people who are members of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will be taken out before the tribulation takes place. Once again, those are the people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior right now during this time of which we live in. We need to understand this, that there are participants in the Great Tribulation. First, I see the man of sin. He's the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 and Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2 talks about this. Well, there will be people saved during the tribulation, of course, and God has no respecter of persons. He gives people an opportunity to be saved. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 7, it says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." Well, that's the son of perdition, or the man of sin it's speaking of here. And he would, and it goes on to say, "And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Or Revelation chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword." Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So we see that there are saints who will be going through the tribulation period. Not those people who are members of the church right now. These are those people who are that get saved after the tribulation starts. These are saints after the tribulation starts. They're not members of the church as we know it today. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 12 through 13, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." Well, John is speaking here, and God is speaking here of the tribulation period. So it goes on to say, "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." So we see that there will be people saved during the Great Tribulation. Well, is the Great Tribulation the end of the world? Well, the answer to that, of course, is no. The end of the world, as we know it, will occur at the end of the millennium, the thousand-year reign of the Lord. And to better understand the term end of the world, we need to remember the flood that took place in Noah's day. The water overflowed the world and cleansed the world, and the Bible teaches us that this would be cleansed, this world that we live in now will be cleansed with fire, not water. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 22 says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." Well, of course, that's speaking of the Jewish people, the seed. Today, we want to look at the purpose of the book once again, and it is to present Jesus as King, the Victor, and the Lamb. The purpose of this study today is to present the second coming of Christ. And you need to read about this in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, and Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 30, where it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Well, this is not the end of the world. This is speaking of the second coming of the Lord. Well, verse 30 says this, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Well, if you'll remember, we said that every eye is going to behold him in a previous study. And those people who are left on this earth after the great tribulation at the end of it, everyone is going to see the coming of our Lord in glory. People who are unsaved at that point are going to be asking, if you read this, going to be asking the mountains to fall on them. They're wanting to hide, but they can't get away from the Lord. Well, the second coming of the Lord is the return of the King Messiah. At the end of Daniel's 70th week, according to Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." Now, if you go back and you study this, you'll find that many Bible scholars believe that Jesus was taken up into the clouds after his resurrection. And of course, we've seen that, and you read that in the book of Acts. Well, he was taken up from the Mount of Olives. And this is exactly where he's going to come back. Every eye is going to see him. Well, the second advent, or the second coming of the Lord, is slow enough for people to realize and see what is happening. Now, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 and Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27, the second coming of Christ to the earth will be visible and obvious to all. No one is going to miss the second coming of the Lord. When Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." And once again, Acts chapter 1, verse 11 speaks of this, and "they also which pierced him," it talks about in chapter 1, verse 7, "and they also which pierced him are going to see him according to the word of God, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." And of course, that's speaking once again of Revelation, the book of Revelation and the book of Matthew talks about the second coming. Well, there are signs of the second coming of the Lord, such as the events in Revelation 6 through chapter 18. There is much that must be fulfilled before Christ returns to the earth, such as all the events in Matthew 24, verses 3 through 31. Well, then, that's not speaking of the rapture in Matthew 24. It's speaking of the second coming of the Lord. Well, where is he coming back? Well, I've already mentioned this, that according to the scriptures, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4 says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." Now, I would remind you that to read Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, and also read about his second coming. My goal here is going through these books of the New Testament is to, I'm praying that your appetite will be whetted. In other words, you will have a desire to go on and study the Word of God. Get into it for yourself and start studying. If you haven't already done that, study the Word of God. Well, at the second coming, unbelievers are removed. Believers remain, according to Matthew 24, 37 through 41. Yes, there will be believers, people saved during the Great Tribulation. We've talked about that. And those people are going to remain and go into the millennium. In Luke chapter 17, verses 34 through 37, it talks about this. And Matthew 24, 38 talks about the unbelieving world in Noah's day when they were taken away in judgment. Well, that's what's going to happen to unbelievers at the second coming of the Lord. They will be taken away. Believers will be left. Now, I remind you once again, Matthew 24 is not speaking of the rapture. It's speaking of the second coming of the Lord. Matthew 24 and verse 38 says this, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Well, that's what's happening today. People are celebrating. They have no concern. They do not believe that Jesus is coming again. But I've got news for you. He's coming again, and you need to be ready for him. First of all, if you've trusted him as Savior, you're going to go up in the rapture, as we've spoken of the last time that we were together studying the book of Revelation. Well, the second coming is not the rapture of the church. The second coming will not take place until the end of the tribulation period. Well, then we want to look at the millennium briefly. The millennium is spoken of here in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And in verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ." Well, notice this. It goes on to say, "And shall reign with him 1,000 years. There will be 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth before eternity. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, it talks about Christ, that he's going to rule the earth. And the millennium is an answered prayer. And once we stop to think about it, in Matthew chapter 6, in verses 9 through 10, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye," and this is Jesus speaking to his apostles, "pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And notice verse 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven." So the millennium is actually an answer to prayer. Thy kingdom come. Well, the will of God will not be done in earth as it is in heaven until the church is taken out. The tribulation takes place and the millennium starts. His will be done on the earth during the millennium. In the millennium, there will finally be peace on the earth, according to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, and Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Lord himself will teach the unadulterated word of God. And we concern ourselves sometimes with, how do we know what is the word of God today? We hear so many different things about God. How do we know that it's true? Well, people who are there during the millennium, they won't have to concern themselves with wondering what is true, because Jesus himself will be the teacher. And then, after the millennium, eternity. Well, what is eternity? Well, there's always been an eternity. We as human beings are governed by time, but God is not governed by time. And Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Well, the first part of that talks about the one who inhabits eternity. With God, it's always eternity. With us, we are governed by time at this point, but eternity always has been. And if we look back in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." See, God is not hampered with time such as you and I. And eternity will take place, our eternity. And we think of it as future, but eternity is right now when you stop to think about it. Eternity always has been. It's never going to have an end. Well, God loves you today, and he wants you to know him as Savior. And if you've never trusted him, you need to trust him now by saying, "Lord, I can't save myself. I know I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. Please save me so that I can see you one day and thank you personally for saving my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.